You're listening to Jedi and Germs, a weekly podcast brought to you by the Torn by Sports Podcast Network and blogtalkradio.com. I'm Alan Zog, the Jedi. He's John English, the Germs guy. Hello, John.
Hello, Alan.
And hello, Devin.
Oh, good morning.
And before we even get into it, I'm just going to tell everybody what happened off air. These two tried to out deep voice me for an intro to this show, and folks, it ain't going to happen.
It ain't going to happen.
Oh, baby, it's going to happen. It's going to happen right now. I just want to say shout out to our listeners who've been downloading this podcast.
Dude, you sound like you're going as deep voice Elvis. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Let's talk about the jazz.
Okay. All right. Hey, guess what? We got a game 6 to talk about. Earlier this week, John, you and I got together for just about 15 to 16 minutes, something like that. Talked about game 5, previewed it. My question to you before we preview game 6, did game 5 really surprise you at all? Other than the 25-point blown lead, did any part of that game really surprise you?
Any part? Yeah.
Okay, let's hear it.
Now, if I hadn't watched the game and I just saw the final score, that wouldn't have surprised me. But watching the game and how it unfolded, I was surprised that even after Rudy got called for that fourth foul, that the Jazz fell apart so thoroughly and could never get it back. A big run didn't surprise me. It did surprise me, but the Jazz were never able to stop it. I was surprised to see it that flustered. And we talked earlier about talent versus execution. And the Jazz stopped executing in the second half. And then you saw talent, and I would also say experience, yep, kick in for the Thunder.
And that's my takeaway from the game, too. I mean, in reality, everybody wants to just lose their minds over this, and they want to look at the foul situation. They want to look at Westbrook and George. And on the surface, everybody's going, Westbrook and George finally showed up. They went off. They're going to do it again. The Jazz are going to lose. But even when Westbrook and George went off in that game, to me, it felt like that was not the contributing factor why the Jazz lost that game. I still felt like the Jazz's lack of execution, mental mistakes, things that they could have avoided themselves, was really the biggest reason why they lost that game. Would disagree with me? Either one of you, or you guys agree with that?
No, I agree.
Some people would say it was Kane's fault.
Kane Fitzgerald. What? Okay. You know what? I'm not going to blame it on one call. Blowing a 25-point lead, you can't put on a phantom foul. I mean, come on.
And it's the mistake of they seem to get stuck in the shooting the three.
Yeah.
Because Ingles and Crowder, I mean, Crowder went off in that
Crowder
first half.
Crowder was on fire in that first quarter.
I believe they set a Jazz playoff record or something like that for three-pointers made in a half.
Yep.
But they didn't stick to their game. They didn't stick to their identity. I don't know. They just folded. Folded like a chair in the cultural hall before a pickup basketball game at Allen's church.
At my church? Why at my church?
I don't know.
Okay. No, and there were critical turnovers, I thought, in that third quarter, too. Critical turnovers that turned into Oklahoma City buckets. Just overall, I mean, Jazz can be better. Jazz know that. We know that. If I read the stats right, the Thunder had 20 second chance points. You can't let that happen either. I feel like the Jazz were the creators of their own falling in that game. And let's get into game 6. Like, how do we see things unfolding tonight? Aside from a win, I'm saying right now they're going to win. But how do we see it unfold tonight, John?
I bet it's more like game 3. I think the crowd will be back into it. I think Quinn will have this time to make the adjustments. I think all the players are doing serious soul searching on what happened. I don't think Rudy's going to get into early foul trouble, and that's really the key. As long as Rudy stays out of foul trouble, they win.
Okay.
I think you're going to see both teams be aggressive towards the bigs.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was what worked for Oklahoma City in game 5. That is what worked for the Jazz in game 3.
and game four. Adams went out with, what, five fouls late game four.
Did he? I thought Adams stayed out of foul trouble that time. Or maybe I'm mixing up four and five. But either way, I think that's what you're going to have is the guards and your wings being aggressive in the interior, trying to get those calls. Hopefully the Jazz don't settle for the three, but I'm hoping they're not afraid to shoot it, especially Joe. Joe being at home, he seems to be more comfortable shooting the ball when he's got the crowd behind him. And that may have just been that he kind of shied away from it in the first couple games, and Quinn said, hey, you have your shot, you shoot it.
Yep.
But are we sure it's a win?
Yes.
John, are you sure it's a win?
I am.
Yeah, I'm confident that it's a win. You guys, you don't want a game seven in Oklahoma City.
No,
you don't. And I don't, Jazz aren't losing tonight. Jazz aren't losing tonight.
And people have been saying that, and there's been kind of this hesitancy among some fans on the Twitter sphere. But there's one person whose opinion I care about, and that is Sir Donovan Mitchell of Louisville.
You're going to go after his post-game remarks to a fan as he walked through.
I loved the post-game remarks. Hey, we'll see y'all next year. We ain't coming back to this.
Expletive. Yeah, no, I was going to bring that up if you didn't. Do you guys have a problem with that? I mean, Devin, you don't. John, do you have any problem with Donovan saying that on his way out?
Why would I have a problem?
I don't know. So I heard some comparisons. Yesterday they had on the big show, was it the big show earlier in the day? I'm trying to think, a national writer. I think it was Sam Amick. I think it was the big show. They were talking to him, asking him how he felt about those comments, and he compared them to Russ's comments about shutting that expletive down when it talking about Rubio. Is this the same narrative, or is this Donovan understanding what's at stake and Donovan knowing that game five wasn't good and Donovan making sure they understood it's not happening? I mean, what is this a Russell Westbrook moment, or is this a completely different?
I think it's different because Donovan's talking about the team, whereas Russ viewed Rubio's game as a one-on-one, I'll show you up type thing.
But does OKC use that against the Jazz tonight? They realize that he said that and come out fighting and swinging?
Of course. You use anything you can find. Any bulletin board thing you can put up there, you put it up there.
Yeah, but it's an elimination game for them, so they're going to put up anything they can anyway.
Of course they will.
You know, they're coming out swinging right off the bat regardless.
Of course they will.
I think there are similarities, and I think there are differences. I think with both players, you have elite talents who believe in their game and have confidence, borderline arrogance about what they can do, and they're going to say it.
Right.
And I have no problem with it. I have no problem with it coming from Russ. You know, Russ is a fantastic player, regardless what people want to say about how he's performed in this series. He is, what, top five in the NBA?
Easily. So, but like you pointed to a minute ago, it's where it's coming from that matters most.
But here's
with Russ, it came from one place. With Donovan, it came from somewhere completely different.
Right. And here's the difference. The difference is, Donovan is saying this as, okay, we're going to go back, we're going to get the win. And that's basically all you can read into it. With what Russell said, it's, I'm going to do this that I haven't done in three games.
Right.
And when he said that, it was kind of a, well, why haven't you done that before? You're not given 100% in the playoffs. You know what I mean?
Right.
There's kind of a negative tone that you can take away from it. With Donovan, you just don't have that, and so I don't think there's quite as much controversy with it.
Okay. All right. And I know you only put in game six. Do we want to in any way? I mean, first of all, John, you and I are very convinced that this is over tonight. Devin, you came back with the apprehensive. I want your firm commitment. Are they winning tonight or no?
I am going to go a 65-35 split where I am leaning towards they win. But I do think that when you blow a lead like that, it does mess with the mental side of the game. It does take the momentum back to Oklahoma City. And I think what's going to be really important, honestly, is the first quarter of this game.
Right.
So Jazz have fallen behind. They've been able to work their way back. But my concern would be if Oklahoma City gets up early, can the Jazz put game five in the past, move forward, and make a comeback to win the game?
I might put more emphasis on the third quarter than the first, though.
Right.
Because if you come out swinging and you're doing well and by halftime you're up 10, that third quarter is critical. If you give up a lead and all of a sudden you're down going into the fourth quarter, now you start worrying.
Right. I agree. It's going to be the start of both halves, kind of, you know. So you get back into it by halftime if you're down. Can you make that run in the third quarter if you need to? So
I ask this because, John, I want to ask real quick, do we want to discuss anything regarding Sunday? I mean, we're not going to record till next week. We may be well halfway into the Houston series. Do we want to preview anything?
Ooh. I hadn't thought about looking that far ahead. But
I'll give you a question.
I don't know.
Okay, what's your question?
I don't want to hit you with a question.
What's your question?
If the Jazz lose tonight, what happens in game seven?
If the Jazz lose tonight, I have very – this isn't the Jazz team from a year ago that went into the Clipperland in seventh game and won. That's why I'm not even looking at it if the Jazz lose, because I don't think they're going to lose. But if you really want me to look at it as if they lose, then I think game seven's going to be – I don't think it's going to bode well for the Jazz.
Okay, John?
I think if the Jazz lose game six, then Oklahoma City's going to have a ton of confidence. I bet you see the majority of pundits pick the Thunder to win. But if the Jazz don't win game six, I do still see them winning game seven.
Okay. Three in a row is tough for any team. So, and at the same time, home court is big. And like I said, momentum. So it's one of those toss-up games. If it were to go to a game seven, I think... Without making a pick either way, I think what you will see is a lot of what you'll see tonight just amplified, and that is a very chippy, very aggressive game. And I'm pretty sure by the time this is over, these teams aren't going to like each other at all.
No.
Yeah.
Okay, so then I ask again, final question. If the Jazz win tonight, Houston, do the Jazz split in Houston, or are we going to come back 0-2 next week?
I would say 80% chance that Houston wins the first two games.
Okay.
Yeah, I want to be like, yeah, we're going to split. You know, they haven't dealt with the Jay Crowder. I think. Rudy was out. They weren't hitting their stride. But I mean, Houston's good, man. Houston is so good. I can't say that we're going to split the first two games.
Okay. All right. Moving on then. Let's talk other NBA playoffs.
All right. So we have four teams that are now in the second round waiting to face their opponents. Houston, Golden State, New Orleans, and Philadelphia. And then we have, besides this one, we have four other series going. So Toronto is up 3-2 against Washington. How do you see that one going?
I still believe Toronto wins that series.
Me too. I could see it going to seven, but I think Toronto wins.
I think Toronto does too. But like I said before, it's been a fun series, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Washington's been able to answer the call. I mean, I initially thought Raptors would be able to close this in five, but it's been interesting to see the Wizards were able to rally and make it competitive.
See, the one that I didn't expect is the Cleveland-Indiana series. And I think you guys
been
did.
Fun.
Yeah. In fact, I've missed a lot of those games. I just working swing shift, night shift, has not allowed me to see many basketball games in this first round. So I've had to go home. I will sit up if TNT's rebroadcasting, ESPN's rebroadcasting, which they all do, and I'll watch through them for a while. I've been up till 2 almost every night this week. So in a lot of cases, I'm watching basketball. But how about that game with LeBron? Game 5? Does this go 7? Does this honestly go 7, or does LeBron just take game 6 and they're done and move on?
It goes 7. Game 6 is in Indiana, and 2 of the wins Cavs have had have just been these last second miracles. I mean, it's been super close. Pacers blew out Cleveland in game 1, and every game since then has been within 4 points.
And LeBron's had to put up monster numbers. I mean, speaking of LeBron, did you guys see Rachel Nichols' piece the other day about LeBron taking plays off, taking time, pacing himself during the games? Very interesting to see, and interesting to listen to Byron Scott and Tracy McGrady talk about that's what stars do. The one thing they did mention that we haven't seen from LeBron yet, the one thing they mentioned about Kobe, Tracy, about Jordan, was, and even Karl Malone, if you go back to this, if you guys remember this, what happened in the later times of their careers? They went away from being aggressive and they settled into the post, right? When does LeBron start settling into the post, seeing the floor and working his magic from the low or the mid-range post instead of one-on-one out at the three-point line? When do we start seeing that LeBron?
When he's on a different team next year and he trusts his teammates more.
Devin's snickering.
That's a good answer.
So I don't know, just things to think about. And that last play, I mean, the NBA came out and said, hey, that was a goaltend, that was our bad. But that last shot by LeBron, holy crap. Holy crap.
Yeah.
And that is why this is over in Indiana.
You think Indiana takes it in game 6 and done? Or no, yeah, no, 7. You think it goes 7?
I don't think it goes
7. Or no, you think it's done in 6?
No. I think they're so distracted by that last play and, oh, we should have had it and blah, blah, blah.
Oh, you think LeBron wins it in 6?
Yeah, I think LeBron goes in there and wills his way into the next round. Don't know how. Really don't know how, because when you look at the points and the assists and the rebounds and every stat basically along the line for Cleveland, LeBron is far and away the leader. So.
Yeah, have you seen those NBA math charts on how the Cavs are doing, and LeBron is way, way, way over here, and everybody else in Cleveland's like mediocre, bad.
What about you, Alan?
What?
Who are you taking in game 6?
I think LeBron closes it out. I think the Cavs do. I'm worried about their next round, but I think the Cavs.
We're not there yet.
But I think the Cavs will take game 6. I do.
How about Boston, Milwaukee?
I think Milwaukee takes it.
Really?
Do you see this going this way?
Yeah.
Holy crap. No, I didn't see it going this way. I
didn't either.
I just thought coaching would win this out. If all else fails, you don't have your star power. And I just thought Brad Stevens would out coach and win this series. What's going on? Why?
I think the Bucks figured some things out in game 6, and I was looking through some of the stats for this matchup, and I just think that talent's going to ultimately win out there. Boston's just missing too many people, and it's really hard to win a game 7 when your best players are out and the other team's best player is in. I see Milwaukee pulling it off.
So for everybody listening and wondering why we're talking talent and execution, I mean, John and I had a conversation on episode 148 earlier this week about talent versus execution. And by the way, I put out a poll about it. My question involved, I mean, what wins out, and specifically in the playoffs, but in the NBA as a whole, what wins out, talent or execution? And John, you felt like it's execution. And actually, I'll tell you what the poll says. I put out three options. I said, talent versus execution. Where do you draw the line? Who wins? I said, elite talent, elite execution, or a combination of both. Zero votes on elite talent. Zero votes. I had 45 votes come through. Zero on elite talent. 29% said elite execution. 45 said a combination of both. That's where I think is the key there. You can have elite talent. You can have elite execution. But what wins out is the ability to combine the both and make it work. Would you not agree?
Well, yeah, I mean, you do have to have both to win, but it's a matter of which one is going to win out more.
Right.
But I think Boston has better execution, but I think the gap of Bucks talent versus Boston talent is a greater gap than Boston's execution versus Milwaukee's execution, and that last game proved it.
Compare that to OKC versus the Jazz. Is this talent gap not superior with OKC?
The gap isn't as big. I mean, you have guys like Russ and Paul George who got together and took over that game and dominated. But as we've seen through the whole series, those guys can be inconsistent, and that inconsistency has killed them in more than one game. And so you look at the net rating on both teams. All five Jazz starters are superior net ratings. All five Thunder players are negative net ratings. And you look at efficiency, and Russ and Carmelo are just terrible, terrible with their efficiency. And that is killing him. Now, they've had talent that's been able to get them game one. They have talent that's been able to get them game five. But overall in this series, I think the Jazz execution has overall been better. And I think they're going to realize what they did wrong in game five and correct it and win game six, because I don't think the talent gap is that great.
So here
at their overall
on that note, I have two things to offer. This series we're talking about in Boston and Milwaukee, best player on the floor is who? Greek Freak, right? Hands down, right?
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Jazz Oklahoma City series. Was listening to Locked On Jazz the other day. Best player on the court in this series is who? I'm leading you, Rudy. Because Locke said something and I want to hear what you think.
I think it's been Rudy.
I agree. And Locke agrees. With all the talent that Russ and Paul George pose, the best player in this series on the floor has been Rudy Gobert. The best player. And that's a lot of talent too. Young talent. The guy's just good. Devin, what do you think?
Nah, mate.
You're not going to say Donovan Mitchell.
Nah, mate.
Oh, you're going to say Joe Ingles.
Joe Ingles.
I think it's Joe Ingles.
Sure.
But no, it's just to this point. I mean, and let's go back to this playoffs. I mean, yeah, Greek Freak is the better talent, and he's been putting on a show. I'm intrigued by your choice that Milwaukee takes this, and then Milwaukee faces who in the second round?
Let's see, Philadelphia will crush.
Oh, that'll be so good. But yeah, Philadelphia should crush that. They absolutely should.
Philadelphia will crush whoever wins. I pick Philly in five on whoever comes out of that.
You're picking Philly in the finals, aren't you? Or at least
I'm
Eastern
still
Conference
pretty
finals.
Good. I mean, I'm rooting for it. Actually, I don't know. If Jazz get eliminated, I might prefer the Raptors in the finals. But yeah, I'm saying the Eastern Conference Finals is going to be
Raptors,
Toronto versus Philadelphia.
Okay. That's going to be dang good too.
Yeah.
Dang good.
So this conversation that we have about execution versus talent, I want to reach back into the past for a minute. And I want to talk about the NBA Finals. Not the 2017 Finals, but the 2016 Finals.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Your victory there went to the land, right? Was Cleveland the better
16? Was that Cleveland?
I believe that was Cleveland.
Right?
Yes, it was Cleveland that won that. In fact, they were down what? Weren't they down 3-1 in that series?
Yes, that's the 3-1 series. But are you telling me that a Lou coached team was better at executing than the, what was it, 71, 70, how many games did they win?
73.
Win Warriors team.
From an execution standpoint?
Before they got Durant, and if I remember right, Draymond had to miss one of the games.
From an execution standpoint, yeah, I do think that Cleveland out-executed Golden State for that entire series, or at least for the final four games.
You got to look at it this. Cavs had more talent on that team, and David Blatt had built a winning culture, even though everyone hated him.
Yeah.
Cavs were 30-11 when he quit, and so Lou was still using a lot of what was already there. He actually had a worse winning percentage than Blatt when he took over.
Well, and even look at the games where LeBron and Kyrie went off for 40. Look at why Kyrie went off for 40. It's not just because of pure talent. The way they got Kyrie in matchups that worked for him. That final shot in that one game, in game 7, I think it was, that big shot he hit. They had Steph on him. And they tried to keep Steph away from Irving that entire series. Steph couldn't stay with Irving.
Yeah.
Right? So execution got him open a lot.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Okay. Well, we could continue this debate. So yeah, absolutely. All right. You wanted to look at second round action real quick about the teams that have moved on?
No, we're kind of short on time. So those other four teams have moved on. Let's just talk about them next week.
All right. Moving on. Quick. We'll be really, really, really quick on our season awards. Shoot them out there, John.
MVP.
Harden.
Braun.
I'm picking Harden.
It has to be Braun every year. Yes, he's the best player, but sorry, Harden is it this year. I don't want to even admit that, but I will.
I disagree. Think about what Cleveland went through.
I know.
Think about what would happen if you took any other player and blew up their team in the middle of the season.
I know. You make a case, and I won't disagree. Okay, next.
Defense player of the year.
Rudy Gobert.
Yeah, definitely Rudy.
Rudy.
No question.
Okay, coach of the year.
Too many good candidates. My two picks are, all right. I got Brett Brown or Quinn Snyder or Brad Stevens. You can't go wrong with anybody, really. I'm going to go Brad Stevens. I've been staying that all season long. I'll say it again, Brad Stevens.
Part of me wants to say Terry Stotts because I want the coach of the year to get fired. Like, can you imagine?
Okay.
I think it, for me, it comes down between either Quinn with what he was able to do with turning this team around, or Brad Stevens with what he's been able to do with almost an entirely new roster.
And losing two stars.
Losing Hayward, losing Irving late in the season. But the homer in me is going to win out. I'm going to give it to Quinn.
John?
Yeah, I'm torn between Quinn and Casey, so I'll hang around and give it to Quinn. I think Dwayne Casey would be my second.
That's a fair point too. Okay.
Rookie of the year.
I'm going to preface this that neither answer is wrong. I'd like to give it to both. There are two clear-cut guys here. Homerism says Donovan Mitchell because he's just been spectacular. Ben Simmons is just incredible. I'm going to go my Homer pick. I'm going to say Donovan Mitchell.
You can't vote for both, can you?
Because
this is one of those where
it's split right down the middle.
I wish the league would let you just be like, "Yep, this is a tie."
Yeah.
It's way too close to call. And really, I think it probably should be Simmons.
Yeah.
I think Simmons is a generational talent. I don't think he's the next LeBron, but I think he's as close as we're getting right now.
Yeah.
And if he develops an outside shot, then he's going to be close to to that level. But for me, the way that Donovan has been given the keys to the car and forced to lead in the absence of last year's All-Star, they didn't have an All-Star. And when they turned it over to him mid-season, he's just flourished. And the team has completely turned.
So who's your pick?
I am going to give it to Donovan.
Okay. John?
The dunk champ.
I'll homer and give it to Donovan just because Sixers fans have been the worst.
Also the right answer.
Okay, next award.
Sixth man.
I'm gonna have to ride coattails on this one because I couldn't even begin to tell you. I have no clue.
I'll give it to Lou Williams on the Clippers. I think he was the best player on their team most games.
Dude, he's had 30 and 40 point games off the bench for them a lot this season. A lot.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll go with Lou.
I don't want to go with Lou, but I want to know who else I can pick from because I I can't think of who's I'm really unprepared for this moment.
Yeah, sixth man I struggle with, dude.
It Gordon last year? Eric Gordon?
Yes.
I get the feeling it could be him again. I don't know how well he's performed, but just with how successful Houston's been, you know, someone's got to step in when Paul and Harden are coming off the court, but I don't know. I feel like there's got to be someone in the East that we're just not noticing.
Probably.
You know, that there's got to be that guy for Toronto who's stepped up.
Yeah, probably.
I don't know. I'm sorry.
Okay, next.
Most improved player. I think this is easy.
Do you?
Victor Oladipo.
You know what? I don't know why I didn't even think of him right off the bat, but you're right. There is no other pick. There shouldn't be any other pick. He's been sensational. All right. Devin, you in agreement?
Yeah. Okay. There's no objection to Depot.
Okay. Is that all of the awards?
No.
That's it.
No.
What are we forgetting?
No.
No.
What am I missing?
Executive of the year.
Oh, executive.
Ooh. Do you give that to Houston? Do you give that to Maury?
I think so.
Maury, with what he's done? Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, that's my pick.
If you're listening, Dennis, you are my pick.
Oh, nice.
Because the move up to draft Mitchell, I mean, the trade to get Crowder midseason, not only that, the offseason moves, who do we add? We added Jarebko, added Tabo. Right. This team would be even better if Tabo were healthy and not suspended.
So you got another homer pick. Okay,
fair enough. I am completely homering out. I got Quinn. I got Donovan.
Rudy.
I got Dennis. I got Rudy. The Jazz are just basically sweeping it.
All right.
And Joe Ingles for MVP.
Let's move on to some quick hits. Quick hits because we've got a box office preview coming up too. So what do we got for quick hits? Devin,
I'm unprepared again.
See how you are?
Hey. How about some NFL draft? The Browns, number one pick, they take Baker Mayfield out of Oklahoma, quarterback. Do you see this working out for them?
It doesn't matter who the Browns pick. It's going to kill the guy's career.
It's the Browns.
So you don't think this is going to work out?
It's the Browns.
Okay. Let me ask you this. If you were Cleveland, would you have picked Mayfield or would you have picked Barkley, running back? Out of, was it Penn State?
Again, it doesn't matter. It's Cleveland. Dude, it really doesn't matter to me, I don't think.
I don't know. I kind of think that Sam Darnold's going to ultimately be a better quarterback than Baker Mayfield anyway.
There you go. So maybe Barkley should have been the choice.
Okay. If it were me, I would have taken Barkley number one as the best running back and seemed to be a sure thing. And then when you got to pick four, I would have picked whatever the best quarterback was available at that time. That's just me. Now,
did they have both picks?
They had 1-4, and they took Denzel Ward with their fourth pick.
Who's Denzel Ward?
Cornerback.
Okay.
See, but that's just me. I'm thinking try and get them a fully functioning offense.
Okay.
My next question was going to be, we had 5 quarterbacks taken in the first round. That's the most since like 86 or something like that.
Wow.
Really? Wow.
I could be wrong. I'm just like making up stats here on the spot, but I'm pretty sure I saw something like that on Twitter. So it has to be true.
You are empowered by Twitter.
I am. So which one's going to have the best career? You had Mayfield, you had Darnold, Rosen, Josh Allen, and Lamar Jackson.
All right. I'm just going to go out on a limb here. I think Rosen has a bright future in the NFL. So if you're going to make me pick, I might choose Rosen.
Yeah, I think Rosen with Cardinals is a good landing place for him. I also think Lamar Jackson going to the Ravens, that's a great landing place for him.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
so
yeah.
I think those two are going to see success quicker. I think Darnold's going to have a decent career with the Jets. I just think it's going to take longer because they're the Jets.
What about Allen and Buffalo?
Yeah, I think that's decent. Buffalo just seems like there was a while there where it seemed like all they were missing was that great quarterback. And was it Fitzpatrick they had where it seemed to work for a year or two?
Yes.
And then that fizzled out. I think Allen will do decent at Buffalo.
Having not realized that Rosen went to Arizona, I'm standing pat on that pick. Rosen in Arizona, that's a good pick. That's a good situation for him. I think Rosen's going to be good. Rosen's going to be very good.
I just want to make sure I get this on record because it is on record online, but, you know, tweets get deleted sometimes. there was a bet made yesterday between me and a certain brown bear regarding who would be the better quarterback between Baker Mayfield and Josh Rosen.
You said Mayfield.
No, I did not.
You said Rosen.
I said Rosen. And we're going to see what happens in 3 years. Who was better, someone in Arizona or someone that got drafted by the Browns? Because something tells me that Mayfield may not even be on that team anymore because it's the Browns. They did it last year, guys. They drafted Kaiser. Okay, I think Kaiser is still a great prospect. Yes, that's a Notre Dame homer saying that. But they gave him up, and you know where he is now?
Let's not forget Johnny Football either.
Right, right.
Yeah,
Kaiser's in Green Bay.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Going to be learning from Rodgers. So,
all right.
We'll see. I can taste the burger already.
Next.
I'm just trying to think if there was anything else NFL related. I don't think so. I thought I saw something this morning, again, waking up early and being in a daze, about Kawhi Leonard.
Yes, and I saw it.
That he wants Pop to go a little bit easier in practices. Did you guys see that?
Yes, I did.
Is that... we've heard that regarding the Jazz from a certain Trey Lyles. Is that really something that an NBA player should be complaining about? I mean, we're talking about practice, guys.
You're comparing... Now suddenly we've got Kawhi Leonard and Trey Lyles on the same platform. That's pretty sad
right
now.
We're not talking about a game. We're talking about practice.
I'm just going to say this right now. The more I'm hearing about this coming out, the more I'm not liking Kawhi Leonard. If it's true, I'm not liking it. Because Pop's been doing this for how long? 22 years? 21 years?
It's not about how long you've been doing
He's got 5 titles, 6 titles.
It's about the end product.
Yeah, the end product has been superb. So if I'm Kawhi Leonard, I'd shut that entitled stuff down and recognize where you're at and do what you're supposed to do. I don't know. John, you agree? Disagree?
Oh. Well, okay. He's been doing it forever, so he's got to keep up with the times. And I think that the coaching that he was able to do with Tim Duncan just isn't working with Kawhi. It's a different personality.
Okay.
And I think Kawhi's, I think he's probably just reached the end of it. I think he sees the Spurs going down. Yeah, Pop's still one of the best, but it seems to me like he just doesn't feel comfortable about the direction of the franchise. I think he thinks that they're just going to keep declining. He wants to go to a bigger market. He wants to be a bigger star. He's one of the top five players in the NBA. And yeah, that's the first thing I thought of when I saw that was Trey Lyles. But, you know, sometimes coaches just eventually lose the ear of their players. You know, Phil Jackson, his final coaching years, he was ineffective.
Jerry Sloan.
You know, I hate to bring this up, but yeah, Jerry Sloan never could quite connected with Darren Williams.
But
that just kind of happens to older coaches.
But that's what I'm asking, though. Is this another Darren Williams situation? Is this reminiscent of that, or is Kawhi Leonard just better and it's not going to end up that way and Kawhi's going to be just fine wherever he goes?
I think he'll be just fine wherever he goes. My guess is he just wants to go to a different market where he can be a bigger star.
All right. Well, cancel Utah out of that picture.
I don't know. He'll be fine, but I don't know that he'll be the same player.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, you take him and you drop him into the Lakers. There he goes. He gets his big market. He gets Luke Walton, who's a decent coach.
Right.
But I don't know that he's as effective as he is under Pop.
Agreed.
It's another one of those, you know, the system brings out the best in people.
Well, you look at the concerns you had about Kawhi coming out of the draft and what the Spurs did to improve those, right? Was that Kawhi working hard? Yes. Was that the Spurs using tools to improve his shooting and things like that? Yes. So, no, I'm with you. I think there's half of one, half of another that goes into the play here.
You remember when Gordon went to Boston and Rudy posted the video on on Instagram? And he's like, I was just listening to these hoes ain't loyal. I want the Spurs to give Greg Popovich the access to their Instagram account. And I want Pop driving down the street listening to it. These hoes ain't loyal as soon as they trade Kawhi. That's what I want.
Okay, fair enough.
That's it for quick hits. Let's over to pop culture.
Let's move into pop culture. John, let's hit up the summer box office preview.
I'm just going to go through what I think are going to be the top 20 movies.
All right.
Avengers Infinity War. I think that will win the summer. And I'm going domestic totals on these. I'm going to say Avengers gets $625 million domestic, probably hits $2 billion worldwide. I think that will ultimately be the biggest movie of the summer. Second, I think is going to be The Incredibles 2. I think the trailers have been great. Incredibles, I think, has been, of all the Pixar movies, the one that has most demanded a sequel. So I think that's going to pull it off. Third, I think will be Solo, A Star Wars Story. I've been trepidatious about this one, but the most recent trailer, everything seems to be on track. So I think it'll wind up working out.
Absolutely.
Be a success. Fourth, I picked Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. First one is a huge hit. I haven't really liked a lot of the previews for the second one, but I think that won't matter. I think it'll be big even if it's bad. Fifth, I picked Deadpool 2. It opens right in a prime area. It's the first big movie that's going to open in the wake of Avengers. Avengers is going to open. It's going to have the market to itself for 3 weeks, and then Deadpool will get here. I think Deadpool will open huge. And therefore, be the fifth biggest movie this summer.
Before you move on. So you got, in a wave, you've got Avengers, then Deadpool, then Solo. Does Solo coming out overtake this top spot from the previous two movies just like that? Done.
Solo takes the top spot of what?
Do you think they take the top spot their opening weekend away from either Deadpool or Infinity Wars? Because again, you've got this wave. Avengers this weekend, Deadpool Mother's Day weekend, Solo Memorial Day weekend. Does Memorial Day weekend, does Solo take the top spot away from one of the other two?
Yes.
Okay. I'm just curious.
Yeah, it'll open number one. It'll open number one.
Okay.
Let's see. Sixth, Mission Impossible Fallout. Tom Cruise's star power has been fading lately, but the Mission Impossible franchise is 100% guaranteed. Next, I pick Ant-Man and the Wasp. Marvel just has the magic touch, and I think I don't think this one will be any different. I think people will be excited by the time it gets here to keep going with the universe and see what's going on with Ant-Man.
I'm excited.
Next, I picked Ocean's 8. There's usually a good female-driven movie somewhere in the summer that catches on. I think Ocean's 8 has it. I think the star power is great. Preview's kind of bouncy and fun. I think that'll be a big hit. Next, I picked Hotel Transylvania 3. I think the movies are fine. I don't think they're great, but I think they're good. And I just see this one being successful. Next, I picked Mamma Mia 2. I did not like the first movie. The trailers for the second one I can't stand, but there seems to be a lot of other people really looking forward to this. And so I don't know why, but I think this one will be a hit as well.
I have seen the first one, I mind you, and I actually didn't mind it too bad at all. Then again, I'm a big ABBA fan, so whatever.
I'm an ABBA fan too, but by the time I got to the end, I'm like, all right, let's just wrap this up. Okay, so that's the top 10. And then the 11 through 20, I see going like this. Skyscraper with Dwayne Johnson. The Equalizer 2 with Denzel. Christopher Robin, which had a very intriguing teaser earlier about Ewan McGregor as a grown-up Christopher Robin who suddenly starts seeing Winnie the Pooh in real life.
And Jim Cummings is the voice of Winnie the Pooh again.
Yep. The first Purge. Purge movies have been wildly successful on tiny budgets, and I bet the prequel continues that. Next, Uncle Drew. I think that one's going to make the top 20. I think that just has enough interest from the right people.
Are the three of us in agreement that we want to see that?
I didn't think I wanted to see it until I saw the preview.
Thank you.
And I'm like, okay.
Thank you. I definitely want to see it. Sorry, I had to interject. Okay, continue.
16, I picked Teen Titans Go to the Movies. I think that'll be a lower budget but still decent hit animated-wise. And it comes out later in the summer, and there's not a lot of competition out there, so I think it'll do well.
Okay.
Next, I picked Life of the Party, which is the new Melissa McCarthy comedy. I think that'll do good with moms and daughters going to see it together. 18, I picked The Spy Who Dumped Me. That opens in early August, and there's not a lot of competition out there, and I thought the first preview looked pretty funny, so I think that'll do well. 19, I picked Sicario 2. First movie's really good. It wasn't that big of a box office success, so I really don't know how much excitement there is for the sequel. And Emily Blunt isn't back for the sequel, but the marketing has been so relentless that I still think that's going to get a lot of people in. As long as the reviews are good, then it should be able to crack the top 20. And then the final 20th one, I really wasn't sure what to pick, so I just went with The Meg. It's about Jason Statham and a bunch of other people, and they find a gigantic prehistoric shark coming after them, and it just looks like dumb summer fun.
Okay. So, did I miss Mission Impossible on the list anywhere?
That was number six.
Okay. I thought I had missed it. I figured you had mentioned it. That's one of the ones I'm looking forward to.
There are a couple horror movies that might catch on, like Hereditary. I think the preview for that looks really good. And then Slender Man, that looks nice and creepy, but it also looks like it could easily be one of those that just goes with the usual ghost cliches. So who knows how that'll do. But yeah, that's about how I see summer going.
Okay. I will end up seeing quite a few of those too. They're on my list. My son and I have been watching that list very early on and already have picked the movies we want to see. So I'm a little surprised at your top five, although all of those movies I figured were in the top five. I'm just, the order kind of surprised me just a little bit. I full on expected Deadpool to be top three. I didn't expect you to put Incredibles up there. I thought Deadpool would be up there.
Oh, I think Deadpool has its definite fans, but I think the R rating just limits how high it can climb.
Yeah, you can't take your 6-year-old to Deadpool, Alan.
Well, I know that.
Yeah.
I know that.
You can't take him to Avengers, Incredibles, Solo, and Jurassic World 2.
Right, right. Solo, it doesn't surprise. I'm agreement with you as far as the top spot. I mean, Disney's going to dominate the box office this summer. They're going to dominate it. I mean, between a
just now occurred to me those top three are all Disney.
Yep. Yep. All three of them.
Yep. Yep.
So I'm saying they're going to dominate the box office this summer. And then you've got Ant-Man and Wasp. That's another Disney. You got, I mean, you're loaded with Disney in that top 10 this summer. So, yeah. All right. That is your box office, summer box office preview from John. I'm looking forward to talking about those movies as the summer rolls around, because you're going to see them. I'm going to see them. Devin, I hope, is going to see a few. We'll talk about them. So, that'll do it this week. I don't think we have anything else to touch base on. So let's wrap this up. Go Jazz. Yes, they're going to win game 6. Mark it. Go Jazz. Can't wait for the next series. I just found out in text I will be at the game tonight, so I hope to see plenty of you there.
Hang on a sec. Wait. I didn't get a text. John, did you get a text?
I don't see a text. What's going on?
Fine. Sorry, guys. Sorry.
Who do you know?
All right. Thank you for joining us for Jedi and Germs. You know where to find us, anywhere you listen to podcasts. As John so eloquently put on Twitter the other day, take a moment, leave a 5-star review with us on any of the platforms you listen on. Specifically, iTunes would be great. It only takes 10 seconds to do it. Listen to us, enjoy us, join the discussion. We appreciate you all. We'll look for you next week. John, take us out.
Bye, everybody.
Shut the shit off.